And we are live.
Hello. Yay.
Welcome to the Never Ending Night Skies.
Hey, I like the sound you got there. I like the sound. That's good. That's the intro.
Yes, indeed, the haunting intro. Never Ending Nights.
I was going to say it sounds familiarly the same as their tune.
Yes, right. It's very, very, very close to their tune, but it's my tune.
You sold it, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You stole it.
Yes, exactly. So we've got Thomas Logue.
Yep.
And Adam Friess.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the two guys who are behind, the brains behind, Never Ending Nights.
Yes, let me be the first to apologize for that.
I'm not sure if any brains are used.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we forgive you. That's okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry it's us that's doing this, guys.
That's it. Oh. Links in the chat room, guys, so you can check that out.
Okay.
Yeah,
the guys in the chat room.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. If you're not in there, you wouldn't know that. You
and see, and you're probably somewhat familiar with Neverending Nights.
Us?
Yeah. Seen it once or twice.
I think we've actually. I don't think we've ever finished the game. Actually, we've played it a couple times.
Said never ending.
Yeah, that's right. I actually recently got into it myself about 3 or 4 weeks ago. A little bit behind the times, aren't I?
Well, that's all right.
We've only been out for like 2 years. It's okay.
Whatever.
That's it.
So
no, I mean the game.
Oh, the game's only been out for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yeah, okay, we're all confused
now. Yeah, I just
now.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, the second one just came out too. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll get that in about another 3-4 years time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's waiting for it to age.
You're still waiting for that long-awaited sequel for Pac-Man, aren't you?
Yes. So what I like is when they go in the bargain basket and I can pick them up for a couple of quid.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah, $5 here, that'll do me fine.
Yeah.
So, guys, your... Well, first of all, did you know each other well before Neverwinter Night days?
Yes.
Yes.
We used to. We actually met through a mutual friend.
The guy who plays Paul the Dwarf.
Yeah, Paul the Dwarf, actually.
Paul Molina.
Yes. And then we started working together, Tom and I. And actually, the whole reason Neverwinter Nights even came into existence is we were in a safety meeting at work. And we were not paying attention at all. And so we started scribbling a little piece of paper, ideas on what to do, because we both wanted to produce something on the internet. And if you've seen the live action stuff, you will realize that we have faces made for radio.
Yeah.
And so we said, you know what, Machinima is the perfect forum for us, because it doesn't have to be us, and we can just voice it and have fun. And so that's how.
And not show our faces.
And not show, exactly, yeah. Not show us on camera. And that's how Never Ending Nights came to be.
So you guys had both been D&D fans in the past?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big,
long
big
time.
Yeah, see, that's never. Funny. I was never, because I'm 53, right? So I'm older even than you guys.
You were born before D&D started.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I was, indeed. Indeed.
As I come to think of it, but yeah, so, never mind.
but when I was in my pen and paper role-playing days, I was never that into the whole high fantasy thing of D&D. I was more of either traveler, you know, for science fiction or paranoia for what that was.
Paranoia's a great game.
Yeah,
yes.
Paranoia was a terrific game. And that kind of thing. It's just the whole elf, orc, wizard thing it was like, yeah, okay. I had read The Lord of the Rings, right? I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be one.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. Right, I'm much more of a sci-fi role player myself. I'm much more into Battletech and Shadowrun and those type of
right.
games.
But I was also a Warhammer person myself.
Warhammer's fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, the D&D thing is something that both Tom and I were familiar enough with. Tom a lot more so than I, especially with some of the early D&D stuff. And we both liked the Neverending Nights game.
Neverwinter Nights.
Sorry, it's
yeah. See, that's the problem when it's
I'm gonna do that through the interview.
When it's so close, it's like yeah. the station is TMOA. The movies are on air, right. And of course the movies community is called TMO. The movies online, and you know frequently one says, oh yeah, well I was on the TMOA forums, or you know, yeah, it's just too confusing.
Right.
Better
yeah.
to call it something completely different.
Completely different.
Yes, but too late.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, too late. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You change the name now, we'll right. lose the three fans we have.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you start messing with it, it's like, yeah, that way leads to disaster. So, did you both get in on Neverwinter Nights when it first came out?
Yes. Yeah.
Very much so. Me for more, I wanted to play the game, and Tom for he wanted to build, he wanted to make the world.
Yeah, see, that's my interest. I think I played the game, well, I mean, this is my thing, is I have little interest in playing in other people's worlds. You know, I don't even really like playing in my own world. I would rather create worlds for that's other people to enjoy. That's my interest.
That's
and
exactly
I think,
how I am.
Yeah, and I think with Neverwinter Nights, I think I played it for a couple hours. You know, the campaign, the game with it. And it was like, okay, I got the basic mechanisms down. I sort of understand how things work. And that was the end of it for me. You know, then it was like, okay, now I'm going to start working on designing my own areas.
Start building campaigns.
Start building campaigns and going down that road. And actually, with the movies, I did the same thing. You know, there's got like the tycoon mode where you run a movie studio. Well, you know, I played for an hour or two. And it was like, yeah, I don't care about this crap. Yeah, and then it was like, I want to make movies. So that's, you know, I immediately started it and never went back to the game.
Right, right.
That's pretty much what happened
with us.
That's
almost exactly what happened to us, yeah.
Adam played it, and I started building the campaign. It, you know, it was not difficult to do, but, you know, a little more work than I thought. So then we ended up going, why don't we actually do something kind of meet halfway where, you know, we can make a game. You know, sort of like make a world and do voices. You know, we'll do our own voices. And sure enough, at a safety meeting, we started scribbling notes.
Hey, what do you think? Should we save the princess the first season? Or should we... What should we do?
Yeah. You decided on that old standby, a dragon.
Well, that's... Yeah. the way we came to that is actually... There's an old issue of Dragon Magazine that...
Dungeon. It's Dungeon Magazine.
Oh, Dungeon Magazine. Sorry. It talks about the five most overused quests ever.
Yeah.
One of them was kill a dragon. One of them was rescue a princess. One of them was, like, find an artifact.
Yeah, find an artifact. Another one's, like, find the pieces of an artifact and, you know,
and
put it
make
back.
It, yeah. And yeah. We decided, how funny would that be if our characters were to go on the most typical
generic.
Quests, the most generic quests possible.
Right, exactly.
So that's what the basis of the whole season was, yeah, go find and kill a dragon, because that's the most overused quest in
ever.
D&D. Ever.
Well, at least you didn't send them off to kill rats in a cellar.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's level one.
Yeah.
Number one, yes. Right. Yeah, those damn rats. There's always a need for rat killers in high
Exactly.
And I can usually dominate them.
Well,
I told you, you rat.
Until they come in numbers.
Yeah.
Well, I once beat three of them, you know. It was a bit tough, but yeah, I managed to slice them.
You managed to get in there, right.
All right, Roger. Yeah, you are Roger Rat Killer.
That's right, I am. Yeah. Those goblins are a bit tricky on one-to-one.
Right.
You run away from them, yeah.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, those are the little kid ones, not the grown-up ones.
Not the grown-up ones.
Yeah, so they're all the whelps.
The child goblins, yeah.
Oh, no, not child zombies. They're scary.
Yeah.
They're undead. That's not funny.
Yeah,
yeah. I've noticed.
They smell funny as well.
Yeah. Had you guys ever done anything machinima-related prior to this?
Oh, you mean you can't tell by our wonderful work that no, we haven't?
I prefer to let the guests speak for themselves.
Yeah, we didn't. In fact, if you watch the first couple episodes, you'll notice how the resolution and what the first episode's letterbox,
yeah.
we had no idea what we were doing. None whatsoever.
When we were doing it originally, we were capturing it through Adam's video card.
Oh, yeah, we were capturing it through an external... Basically, we were capturing it to another computer.
Right.
Rather than using the program we use now as Fraps. But right. Rather than doing that, we were actually running it out through a TV card into another computer and capturing it that way. And so the quality is horrible.
Well, not to mention one of us, his name is Adam, would forget the setting. So that's why if you look at the first episode, it's, really small resolution. The second one's a little bit bigger. There's no letterbox. Because Adam was like, I don't remember how we did it last time. So I'm like, okay, good. Let's just tinker around until we get it again. And that's why the second one isn't even letterboxed, because we tinkered around and made it bigger.
Yeah.
But the quality was still horrible.
But, yeah, no, we had never produced any machinima in any form whatsoever.
Were you machinima fans? Had you watched other?
We'd watched a couple. The big one, of course, Red versus Blue.
Red versus Blue is like.
And that gave us the idea. Hey, if they can do it, we can do it, and we should have stopped right then. but we had seen a couple others. We had seen some of the music videos. Vets Fat was pretty good. That one was. I really liked that one when it first came out. We had seen a couple of the videos, not only Red versus Blue, but a couple of the other, like the music video ones.
Right.
Not the whole series, but just the music videos. And so we were familiar with the concept, but the actual
know-how
was, yeah, nothing.
Right. So, now, when you sat down, did you script the whole season ahead of time on season one? Because having read on your forums... And on your site, I see that you actually, and we'll talk about this in a bit, where you've actually sat down and recorded all of the audio for the whole second season. So one would assume that you've actually scripted the second season as well. or you're just going to
everyone get in a room and talk
and we'll worry. We'll worry about the order.
We'll just
of the
cut and dice
later.
It. You know.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How are you, Peter?
The pitch keeps changing.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, when we originally did it, we're like, we have very short attention spans. We're like, let's just do five, and let's see if we even want to do it after five. And I don't know how we even made it past the second one, but we got past the fifth one, and we're like, it's actually kind of fun. We're kind of getting the hang of it. And after that, that's when we really, really sat down and just started penciling everything out.
And started figuring out where you were going to go?
Yeah.
Right.
And ironically, you can notice that there's a slow, gradual increase of quality right after five.
Right.
Because we actually had an idea what we were doing at that point.
But we did not write the first season all at one sitting. It was literally, hey, we're done with this episode. Let's start writing the next episode.
One.
And so for us... Really, finding out what was going to happen in the next episode was just as much of a surprise as it was to the viewer, because we had no idea.
Yeah. We're like, look what we did. Hey, all right.
And some of the episodes would be 10 pages long, some would be 15, some would be 6. And for us, it was really at the point, well, we're going to stop here because we can't think of anything else funny to put in this week.
That sort of helps keep it fresh, huh?
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
Right. Is this going to be a 3-minute episode or a... 8-minute episode.
So, no, the first season was done episode by episode.
We're kind of like the writers of Lost. We have no idea what's going to happen the next
episode. Right, so you just keep moving along.
Just keep making it up.
Keep going. Well, the trick is keep going and hope that something comes to you before you get
exactly.
to the end. Yeah.
Well, those are the only two criteria we had. We knew what episode we wanted it to end on.
All right, so you knew it was going to, the first season, ultimately,
right.
once you decided there would be a season.
Right.
Exactly. That you would go, you knew that you would go to 21 episodes.
Exactly. That was our goal number was 21 episodes.
Why did you choose 21?
Because it's the same amount of episodes in a regular TV show for a regular season.
Okay.
And so I think by episode like 18 and 19, I'm looking at Tom going, can we just stop now? Look, we can go to the Dragon Cave like now. We can just say, hey, look, here's a magic pea that way it gets us to the Dragon Cave.
Yeah, that is like a little problem. Now, on the plus side, that's when you bring in Andrea the Assassin.
Oh, yeah. And
Daniel the Destroyer as a sort of a parallel story.
Right, exactly.
And that actually helps fill the time because otherwise, it's Peter and Grayson have been like standing there. You know, the Dragon Cave has been pointed out to them.
I know.
It's like, well, like, when are you going to go?
I know. And that,
you know, let's buy some more salt. Let's kill some more time.
And that's what happens.
But that was one of the funny things about when we decided to include those two characters in. We both kind of took a step back and go, oh, thank God, because I don't know how long we can sit in the bar for three more episodes. You know?
Let's order another round.
Yeah, let's have another round then.
This is going to be the worst episode ever if we just sit in the bar and not do anything.
Yes, you are, after all, heroes.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And heroes, although heroes they do sit in the bar. Yes, he drank heroically.
Right.
Yes.
It's how you hold the mug that makes you a hero.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's how you wield your mug. That's the mark of a true hero.
See, I think the mark of a true hero is dark beer versus light beer.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And if you have a dark and tan, you're just kind of indecisive.
Right. Well, right, yeah. Yeah.
You're fifth level, not tenth, not first.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So.
I was going to ask
Go ahead and answer the question, Roger.
For filming the scenes, obviously you take the scenes from the game, but how do you get to where you want to film the scenes? Is it that you know the game so well, you know exactly how to get to where you want to film it, and then what to do when you get there? How
oh, absolutely not.
We use
an invisible cameraman. There's actually an invisible character in each scene. And typically the way the camera works is that invisible cameraman is standing behind whoever we're filming. So that's how we can get really, really up close face shots or some of the really far away shots with them walking in the distance. There's an invisible cameraman.
Ah.
And what it is I basically put the characters in the position I want them for the scene and then move the invisible cameraman around until I can get two or three, two or three filming shots. Shots. And then I'll film those shots.
It's a very difficult word, shots.
I know. I'll film that, and then we'll move them to the next scene. Then I'll do the same thing in there again. I'll film two or three different angles, move them to the next scene. Then when I give all the video to Tom, he actually looks through them all and goes, okay, well, this is crap. Oh, this is halfway decent. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is crap.
I don't think there's been any good.
Right, there hasn't been, yeah. But that's how we get the angles in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just multiple angles with the invisible cameraman, and an invisible cameraman allows us to get it allows us to get the characters off center because when you're in the character in the DM mode, you have a very limited angle of where around you can go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be centered on you or whatever you're controlling. So with the invisible cameraman, I can move them all over the place.
Mm. And is that a mod or is that part of the game?
It's a script. I guess it's a mod. Yeah, it came out. We found it in the forum, or Tom did actually.
I had a guy send it to me.
Now we do use the CEP, the Community Expansion Pack, which is
right,
a mod.
For people who don't know. What the Community Expansion Pack is a group got together and basically packaged all the best mods and, you know, all the different stuff to actually expand the game.
And then
you've got one thing, and if you're running a game, you know, everybody's got a copy of the Community Expansion Pack. They all have the same props and the same textures and the same...
Right.
Everything, and it just makes it very easy for the the dungeon masters to actually, or people running campaigns or whatever, to sort of standardize along those lines.
And it is the people who behind the CEP are, in my opinion, geniuses, because this it's a great add-on. It's a great mod.
Yeah, they just did the CEP 2, which allows characters to ride horses now.
Right.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's beautiful.
You got mounts now, so you prepare to see Peter and Grayson on horses.
So does that mean we may see Peter and Grayson on horses?
Absolutely.
Oh boy.
Yeah. We're actually hoping that they have a fall off horse emote, because I think Grayson's going to be a poor horse rider. I don't think he's ever ridden. So.
No, he doesn't look like he's ever ridden.
No.
He doesn't give that impression of being really familiar with animals.
He doesn't give that impression of being really
familiar with anything.
Well, he's. I think
he knows a beer.
He's very familiar with a bar stool.
Yes.
Yes, he gives that impression that he's very, very familiar in the environs of the local tavern.
But so after a few of those, he falls off.
Yeah, right.
The kind of person who sits in the bar or pub, drinks a few, and talks all the hero talk, and that's about it. I'm thinking about
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know a lot of people in real life just like that.
I was about to say, it's amazing how much his life mimics my own. Because I am the kind of guy to go to the pub and sit there and talk with all the patrons, the hero talk, and then go outside and go home.
Yeah, that's right.
Big exciting adventure.
I am the mighty warrior, come to save the fair maiden. Yeah, bye guys.
I gotta go home, guys.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired. Yeah. I think I'm gonna go take a nap.
Yeah, my mom says I gotta be home now.
Yeah,
it's 8 p.m. Friends is about to start.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, right. And we have to watch that together every week.
Right.
Exciting lives we all live.
Well, you know, it's tough being here, home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because we all know that a mum's the hardest foe you'll ever fight.
Yes.
You've met my mother. Okay. Yeah,
that's right. Well, they've got a weapon more powerful than any magical weapon in existence.
It's called guilt.
Guilt. Yeah. I suffered labor for 72 hours for you to be born.
Right.
You owe me, buddy.
Right.
It's Roger's wife hollering in the background.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Second most difficult creature, the wife.
The wife.
Shows how much under the thumb I am, huh?
Right.
He's king of his castle, don't let him fool you. And I said he could believe that.
Yeah, that's right. She said I could be boss.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So anybody disagree with that, have to speak to her, yeah.
Right.
Moving on to a slightly different angle of it. Have either of you guys actually played the movies by any chance, or even watched any of the movies?
I've only watched. You might be familiar with Bri Miller.
We know Bri.
Yes, we do.
He's done a few, and then stopped because I guess he ran into a bunch of issues. But I watched most of his stuff.
Yeah, he did the Elmway series.
Yes, Elmway.
And
that's, I was gonna say, other than a friend of mine at work going through the campaign mode of the movies, I've just watched it too. I've never played it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I was trying to grab on the comparison here is how much difference from the movies is the machinima that you do? Or have you not seen enough of it to be able to say?
Well, I think I haven't really seen enough of it to give an accurate perspective, but I think since the movies was kind of designed to do this, and Never Ending Nights wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some difference, Roger.
Yeah, but I mean, like what I've seen with the movies done is really, really good. So,
that's it. I suppose what it is where you've used Never Ending Nights, Never Winter Nights,
Winter Nights
movies. Yeah, I'm doing it now to make movies. It's a bit like somebody made a movie with a dragon in it, which was like, everyone's like, wow, that's like impossible to do, you see.
Right,
so it's
right.
That kind of thing. And we've had a couple of fantasy movies, which there's nothing in the game to do it. So where people have done that, it's really stretched it to its limits. And you've gone the other way, sort of brought fantasy to film, and we've brought film to fantasy. It's sort of a kind of weird crossover, which has got no relation to each other at all, but it makes a good tenuous link. If you want to know what that sound is, every time I make a funny which goes really flat, Ken starts banging his head against the monitor, and that's what that plonking sound is. It's a plate he got in his head from Vietnam.
The plate in my head. Yeah.
Yeah, where he bangs it on the monitor.
Yeah.
No, Roger, when your jokes fall flat, it's...
I thought that was what you had the rim shot for.
No, the rim shot is for the good ones, or semi-good ones. Well, as good as it gets.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, we've not heard much of the rim shot.
No,
it's been on a couple of times today.
Earlier, when Roger was fresh.
Yeah, that's right. I get stinkier as the show goes on,
Stale. You get stale.
Yeah, which is why people always want to be first guest on, not last guest.
Right. Hey, wait.
I gradually go off as the show goes on.
go ahead, Roger.
No, I was just going to talk rubbish.
Oh, okay.
All right. We can do that all day long.
Exactly.
I'm pretty good at that. It's my specialist subject, talking crap.
All of these other folks you have involved with it. I mean, obviously it started off with you two guys. When did you decide to start bringing in other characters, voice actors? Because, I mean, you guys do a lot of the voices in a lot of the episodes. I mean, that's the whole thing. You'll play the two boasting knights.
Yes.
In the first episode, as well as Peter and Grayson.
Right.
You played two of the three goblins, which is one of the funniest damn. I mean, just that whole idea.
Everybody
that
you've got
Peter, you've got Grayson, and you have Paul the dwarf, or Dorf, as he is usually referred to referenced in the credits. And then you have the three goblins who are sort of like your goblin counterparts.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what they are. Same weapons and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just hysterical.
Every member of the cast is a friend of ours.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I mean, every member of the cast is like a long term friend of ours.
Right.
All right. It's not people you just dragged off the street. Like, hey, you'd make a good goblin. You're an
F. Yeah. You look like you look and smell like a goblin.
Yeah,
we can use you.
Come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like a troll. Great. Yeah. Hey, that's my mother.
Oh, it's a she. I didn't know.
Yeah, the hairy back is kind of confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just think she had children.
We decided to involve them when they really basically started to whine and say they wanted in.
That they're going to hear this, that's wonderful.
We won't
have friends after this.
Right. we've already
but it doesn't matter. You'll get new friends and
exactly.
Exactly.
We never thought this would get past the fifth or sixth episode tops. So once it started getting rolling, like, all of our friends are like, oh, hey, I want a part. Oh, hey, can I get in? Can I do that?
And it especially happened after we got mentioned in PC Gamer.
Yeah.
For the UK.
Yeah.
We were mentioned in the magazine, and they put first five episodes and a special episode we did for them on a DVD.
Right.
Once that happened, it was like, hey, so...
So, can I be a character?
Yeah.
Which is fine, because, I mean, everybody did, everybody did really good. I was really impressed with all the people we have, especially how many people we have.
Well, yeah, because you've got like a huge...
You've got like 19 or 20. Yeah, no, we've got a huge cast.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, even now, a lot of the little characters who only had like one or two lines had been writing us or calling us saying, hey, so what are we going to do with the rest of season two? I'm like, oh, I guess we should write you in.
Yeah. Well, how about that? I mean, like, let's take Poppy Bush.
Yeah.
Poppy the salt vendor.
Yes.
We see Poppy when they're in whatever that town is.
Ator.
First one's Galana.
Galana.
Yes. When they reach Galana, they buy their first bags of salt from Poppy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, at that point, did you think that you would be bringing Poppy back?
Actually, at that point, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so after, you had already decided that Poppy was going to be a traveling salt vendor.
We knew she'd be a reoccurring character. The traveling salt vendor didn't come until much later.
Oh, I see. So you knew you would bring Poppy back, but
right.
Poppy the salt vendor, but you didn't know that she would be traveling from town to town.
Right. We didn't know she'd have a salt cart, so to speak.
Right.
Because she gets around.
Right.
Yes.
Oh. In real life, Poppy has this weird fixation with salt. She puts salt on everything.
Right.
And copious amounts of salt on everything. So that's why she became salt.
So, hey, salt vendor.
Right.
Yeah. But does she put copious amounts of that pepper-flavored salt?
Pepper-flavored salt.
Yeah. Yeah. I have, yes.
Does she have high blood pressure?
She probably should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she has a metabolism of a goat, which is...
Eats anything.
That's bad.
Bad.
Rim shot time, Ken.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. So you gotta...
I should warn you. But that's why she became a salt vendor. Like, we knew we wanted her to be a reoccurring character, but we didn't know what until we came up with the salt joke. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, yeah, she can travel from town to town to town selling salt. And it would just so happen that we would travel to the same town that she did, and, you know, it'd be funny. Same thing with,
basically, almost all the characters, their little quirks all have, like, a joke that go with them.
Right? An inside joke, yeah, for...
Yeah, right. Like Poppy's thing for salt, and the one for Alan the Astounding, who's played by Chad Yantos.
Right.
The little halfling wizard passing out. He passed out on a cruise one day.
He was so overly drunk that he literally just passed out and fell over.
Yeah, so a lot of the characters, all their little quirks are usually based off a real joke,
a real life experience.
Yeah.
While we're talking about never-ending nights here, I'd just like to mention that you have your own store over at the Cafe Press, where people, if they're interested, can get their own Bob the Goblin baseball shirt, or I Killed an Ice Cube Monster, or a Bugbear Troll t-shirt, or you can even see the question, the bridge question, though the answer you'll have to find out on the website.
Exactly.
That's it. But yeah, you have got an extensive range of clothing items, etc., etc., though I notice you don't have the thong.
The what?
The thong.
The thong.
Oh,
because Cafe Press, you do get the thong.
Okay, again,
I was afraid Adam would buy it.
Right. Go. If you go to the website and download the live action video, you'll see why we don't wear thongs. we do not have thong bodies.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, in fact, I'll do something scary in a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know.
You carry, yeah, you carry on. To... I'm just going to change my avatar.
Oh, Roger's going to. Yeah, see, the story, Roger's fixation with the thong is... We've got a line of T-shirts over at the TMOA Cafe Press store, which we have a variety of different, like, logos and stuff. But we've got a line of items that have Roger's face on them.
Oh.
And it says, I'm not Roger.
Yeah, like the one if you right-click on my avatar now and... then view profile, you'll see it in all its glory.
Yeah, so then the joke became, as I looked at all the fabulous items that you could buy, I said, hey, Roger, how about we do an I'm Not Roger thong? Because I thought that he would just love to have his face on a thong.
Yeah. Well, one man wouldn't, really.
Right, exactly.
Or woman.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
we did have a competition to win one as well.
Right, we did. We had a movie competition where the winner could have a genuine collector's item, a Roger thong, and the guy chose a T-shirt.
Yes, it would have been. Yeah,
he chose a T-shirt. No guts.
We weren't originally going to have a T-shirt option, but when was it somebody, a young girl of 16 or 17?
The trial.
No. I know he won, but there was a girl, I think it was Judy Ann, when she was, 16, 17 at the time?
Yeah, 17.
She said, could we have an alternative to it, because it might be difficult to explain it to my dad, that two middle-aged men are sending me a phone across the internet.
Right, with the face of one of them
on. There's consequences. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. I mean, it's something's a bit dodgy about that, isn't it?
No, come on, Roger. Many fathers would understand why they're... daughter was wearing.
Absolutely.
A smiling 40-ish English man on her thumb. Yeah.
Hey, honey, who's Roger? Yeah. He has her underwear.
At least it doesn't say Roger was here.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. But the interesting thing is on the back of it, on the thong, it's got the back of my head, apparently.
Yes. In the little area where there's, like, enough material, there's a little tiny back of his head. Yes.
Now, see, if I were you, I would actually turn the picture around so the back of your head is on the outside of the thong. Because...
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I told you, you've got to wear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. We hadn't thought it through that far, but thank you, guys.
Yeah, well.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
It's all about sharing and caring over
Indeed
here.
It is. Indeed it is, and that would certainly be a wonderful. The back of Roger's head on your thong. Yes, indeed.
Yes, well, you're really going to have that one.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Yeah, that's it. I wasn't too keen on it, but Ken said, "Like, if you don't do it, I'm going to beat you up." And I'm like, "Okay then."
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, if it's under physical threat, then yeah, absolutely.
Right,
you've
no,
got
no
it.
Option.
That's right. Yeah, because
exactly.
It can be pretty scary if you upset
yeah,
him.
Exactly.
Oh well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, Roger is such a
wimp. Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, You got through the first season, and yes, as you went along, they got better. Where did the whole did the whole Andrea the Assassin plot come as a result of needing to fill, or was that always part of your idea that they would also be pursued by somebody?
Well, what's funny is originally we had the idea of doing a villain, but we didn't know who it was going to be at the time. And Christy originally was going to be the madam that we see, Madam Rainbow.
Right.
That was originally Christy's role, but Christy's very much into playing evil characters. So we're like, hey, why don't we make her evil? And so we changed it around, and we're like, okay, we're going to have Andrea be evil, not a madam of the night, if you will.
Right.
And so that's how she came about. So originally it wasn't going to be Andrea. We had no idea who the villain was. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy, a girl. What we were doing. We just knew we wanted a villain, just not how we were going
to do it. Right, you have to have a villain.
Well, quite frankly, the reason she got such a big part, too, is because she read her lines so incredibly well, and we got such a huge response back on our forum that everybody liked Andrea, and everybody, you know, wanted more of her. And so,
what was that first scene where she comes up and you got that armor guy or the weapons guy?
The weapons
and
guy.
And she just whacks his head off. It's like,
right. And yeah. It just got such a strong reaction, strong positive reaction. We're like, okay, well, let's write more. And again, at that point, it was like, well, we need filler for episode 19. God, that's.
Yeah.
So yeah, then both of them got much stronger storylines because they had done so well in their line readings and such a huge response on our forum. That we just decided let's add more and more and more of them.
And season two has a good chunk of them in it.
Yeah, season two really divides up a lot more of our time out of the story and puts them into the story a lot more.
Okay, before we go to talk about season two, because I do want to talk about that and beat whatever we can out of you. About what's coming.
I told you he was violent.
Yeah.
You want me just to get the script and we'll just read it
right
from behind?
Yeah, perhaps you could just do a little read through on the script. Just the first
four
or five.
And on page 24,
right,
Peter says, ha ha ha.
Yeah, just the first four or five episodes. You don't have to give the whole season.
Right, exactly.
Right, exactly. But,
What is my motivation? Because I'm an actor.
Your motivation is we're not paying you, and there's pizza out front. If you want some, you'll read it better.
I'm going to play the troll.
Now, before I get to what I want to talk about next, which is the Never Ending Days thing, you now, when you do a reading, right, when you and when the two of you are working together, you're actually just sitting there both reading your lines at the same time, right?
Initially, that's how we started.
That's how we did season one.
That's how we did season one. I had actually had a recording booth in my garage. I had built a little tiny recording studio, a two-booth, two-mic recording studio.
Wow.
But for season
Boy, talk about professional.
Well, we tried.
We called it the ghetto.
We called it the ghetto booth because it was hot and it kind of smelled at times.
You can only do about a half an hour of reading lines before, you know, the lights inside the booth just made it impossible to stand there.
Right. It was hot. And
beads of sweat coming down the head.
But for season two, we actually went, we have a recording studio in Tom's house, and it's just a single mic setup, which we found actually is much easier to edit later. Because when we were bringing them both together, if my voice was too high and Tom's voice was too low, it came out, you could really, really hear the differences in the show.
Right.
So now that we do them one at a time, we can set the mic balances all exactly the same. And if somebody reads too low, we can just raise it, you know, in post-production, we just raise it.
Right. Yeah, so that's basically how we do the voices in the movies, is
right.
People
right.
Just... You know, I mean, it's, for example, because we've got, you know, an international community, really.
Exactly.
If, you
exactly.
know, I have, you know, Roger read some lines for me, I send him the script, he records the lines, he
yep.
sends them to me, and then I drop them in.
Right.
So you're doing pretty much the same kind of thing now.
Now we are.
Now we are. We were really lucky that most of our cast was local, and that's why we had the two mic booth, is because we wanted to have that real...
Where you have interaction.
Right, real, you know, interaction between the characters. We only had a few people on the East Coast that read lines for us, and they sent us those lines, and we dropped them in. But, again, we wanted that interaction between the two. We didn't realize until about episode 18 or 19 how much better it would turn out if we just had one line at a time.
Right.
Where the levels, you know, in post-production, where the levels were all the same.
Well, levels and timing and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
It gives you more complete control over the sound
mix.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we also, about halfway through season one, we really went out and splurged and bought a digital analog converter for our microphones, and we got really nice microphones.
Ooh.
We really splurged on our sound. We splurged again for season two.
Actually, that leads me into a question from one of the listeners. Dan Lally asks, could we be seeing new features in season two?
Well, you are going to see a lot of new stuff with the second, because we're now using the CEP2, CEP2.0. So, yes, you will be seeing a lot of new features in there. As far as new features from the sound, maybe a little.
Definite improvement.
Yeah, the sound quality has definitely gone up.
Yeah, that's it. Because the more you mess about, what software do you use for the sound?
For the sound, we're actually using a registered version of Goldwave.
I like how he puts registered, because we steal most of our other software.
Yeah. Goldwave is good program. A lot of our community members use Audacity, which is
Audacity.
It is free.
Yes.
Yeah.
And very good for its price.
Yeah, exactly. It's wonderful for the cost.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to, as we were discussing earlier, Blender, which is worth every penny you don't pay for it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So before we get into really talking about season two, I want to talk about a little bit about the Never Ending Days thing.
Okay.
Now, you guys were approached by Atari, which is the distributor. Of Neverwinter Nights 2,
right.
Which has just recently come out.
Right.
Now, how did that go? I mean, how did the call or the email just come out of the blue, or
kind of? Yeah, Tom actually got an email off the forum, and it was kind of funny because they were really not specific on what they wanted to talk about. We had an idea, and it was, you know, they said, hey, are you guys going to go up to E3? Because we live really close to Los Angeles.
Right.
So we're like, well, we weren't going to. And they said, well, why don't you come on up? You know, we'll get your in, we'll get your tickets. And at this point, Tom and I are thinking, okay, so you're going to go, hey, we really like your stuff, and we want you to produce something for Neverwinter Nights 2, or we're going to sue you and stop
right.
using all of our crap.
Yeah. step into the room over here
right.
and sit down with our
Hi.
Attorneys.
Why
yeah.
are there so many security guards in here?
Yeah.
Wow.
We need our lawyers.
Yeah.
This is a cease and desist.
Yeah.
So it really came out of blue.
Well, even funnier still is that The person who contacted us was Maverick Shane, and he's also a moderator over at the Bioware forums.
Right.
We had just put up the thing about sponsorships.
Oh, yeah.
We had just put it up, you know, like, hey, if you donate
right, to help out with
the
bandwidth,
we'll give you a DVD.
Yep.
And 2 days later, a representative from Atari signed up for our forum. And I'm like,
oh my
we
God.
Are screwed.
Oh my God.
We are about to get reamed.
Yes, because you are very specific in your sponsorship stuff.
Yeah, well, you notice that?
We are now.
This DVD is not
free.
It's free. It is a gift from us for sponsoring. You are not buying the DVD.
All that, I swear, was added after I saw Maverick had signed up to the forum. Like before, I said, you know, hey, just donate $20, we give you a DVD.
Right.
Maverick signed onto the forum, and I went in there. Yep. I'd just like to emphasize,
right.
It's all free.
Right, yeah, this is give. This has nothing to do with you buying
anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah,
yeah, because game companies are kind of funky about that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Lionhead does not like you. Or basically will come down on you with both feet if you wanted to sell your DVD, your movie on DVD.
Right.
Yeah, oh, just don't, they don't care for that for some reason.
Oh, you can give.
But yeah, no, so it was, for us it was totally out of the blue. And it was incredibly exciting to be approached by Atari.
All right, so you went up to L.A.
And
got in the room, and there were fortunately no security guards or lawyers there.
Yes, at this point it was just Shane from it's a PR firm called Maverick.
Right.
And they do all the PR for
they do it for Atari.
They do it for Atari. Okay, they do it for Atari. And then there was a representative from Atari and a representative from
Obsidian.
Thank you.
Right. Who are the developers of Neverwinter Nights 2?
Right. So we sat down and they basically looked at us and say, "So, what ideas do you have?" And Tom and I looked at each other and goes, "Oh, well, we got none. We didn't know what you want to talk about.
Yeah. You just told us to come here. We're waiting for
right.
the handcuffs."
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tom and I kind of muddled around the booth for a couple hours and came up with some ideas. We went back to them and they liked what we'd come up with. And they said, "Okay, well, what we're gonna do." Is we're basically going to make you guys sign a non-disclosure agreement, and then we're going to send you a copy of the game. And that took quite a while. Actually,
yeah. We ended up going to Obsidian.
We actually went up to the Obsidian Studios and got a really nice in-depth preview of the game engine and of the toolset.
Right.
Which was amazing for us because it really, the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset. Compared to the Neverwinter Nights 1 tool set, is like night and day. It's incredible.
Yeah, see, I've got a copy of Neverwinter Nights 2 sitting here that I haven't installed yet because I'm afraid that if I do, then I'm going to start wanting to mess with it,
right.
And pretty soon it'll be like, TMOA, what the hell's that? I don't care.
we'll just
throw one of the old shows on.
Right, exactly. It's a rerun week here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll be back with new shows next fall.
Yeah. Until June, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it really was. Now, it also proved to be kind of a nightmare at the same time because we had never used it before, and it was very buggy. It was still, in alpha. It wasn't even a beta yet. Then we had to get a new disc.
Frequently.
A new disc, every 2 weeks. And because it would time out, and the key would say, "Well, you can't use this copy anymore."
Yeah, and sometimes there were issues with the new ones. They would send they sent one that had no tool set.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't build anything until I get a tool set.
But it was amazing working with them and seeing getting access to the game before it came out and seeing what was in the game.
Yeah,
and what's funny is what wasn't in the game.
Yeah,
we had written several episodes. And when we got the tool set, we realized that half the characters we wanted to put in weren't there.
Yeah. Right.
And so all of a sudden, our bad guy became a devil rather than a beholder. And, things like that.
Right. Well, yeah, it's the same kind of thing we go through with the movies where you're thinking, okay, I need a scene where somebody does this.
Yeah.
And then you get to that point and it's like, well, there is no scene where a guy does that.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do.
So that's when you just, you start doing quick rewrites. Well,
right.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Change it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened. That's why that two-parter is called beauty is in the eye. Not,
Beholder 1 yeah, and 2, yes.
Right. Yeah. It's supposed to be a Beholder. Yeah. Then you got in there and start building the tool set. Hey. I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to put the Beholder right where, you know, where do they have the Beholder listed? I like opened up at every little subcategory and I'm like, they don't have a Beholder and it's Forgotten Realms. How is that even possible? Yeah.
It's all your D&D fans. They'll find that funny.
Yeah. it's sort of like saying, right, it's a Bible without Jesus.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, they left him out. He's yeah. maybe they'll add him later in a pack.
Right.
Yeah, he might be in the expansion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus is in the Bible expansion. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, it was wonderful working with Atari and Obsidian.
Did you basically devise the idea of what the storyline was going to be in Neverending Nights, or did they suggest it, or was it a group kind of thing?
They left it up to us 100%. They did basically have override authority. Like if
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They had a few guidelines, like don't make fun of us.
Right.
You know? Well, they actually said that their real guidelines were, you can make fun of gamers in general because we know gamers like to laugh at themselves. You can make fun of D&D as long as it's not slamming D&D, and you can make fun of Wizards of the Coast as long as it's not slamming Wizards of the Coast.
Right.
Because Wizards of the Coast owns the Dungeons and Dragons name.
License, yeah. I mean, basically, or they license it out to people.
Exactly.
I imagine they're kind of humorless about that sort of thing.
Well, actually, we met with one of the Wizards of the Coast guys.
The main PR guy.
Yeah, it was very briefly, but we met with him. And he basically said, look, we understand that gamers have a sense of humor, and we understand that gamers like to laugh at themselves. As long as you can make it laughing at yourself and laughing at us, or laughing with us, and not at us, we're fine with making fun of Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
You know, we have a sense of humor, too. And that was really refreshing, because there's a lot of inside jokes that we want to put, you know, poking fun at, like the differences between second and
third. Right, yeah, I've got, but in the third edition rules.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he said, that's fine. Oh, you can make fun of, you know, the differences between the editions. You can make fun of almost anything you want. Just don't, you know, go back and say, oh, well, Halo's a better game.
Yeah.
You know, don't put that right in the middle of the,
exactly.
of the episode. And so they gave us a lot of creative freedom. Like I said, they did have, like, basically script approval, but they gave us a lot of creative freedom.
So what did they, so what made you decide to do what you did, which is basically like it's essentially like a reality show where a party is thrown together, you know, or recruited by the host, and then they're sent out to do their adventuring?
Well, the reason we came up with that, it's just like almost any D&D game. The very first adventure, the kickoff one, was the hardest one. And when we were thinking about it, we were thinking, you know, on TV, reality shows are everywhere.
Right.
I mean, everything is regular shows are being canceled, but, you know, reality shows are doing great. So we thought, you know, well, a reality show is probably something that people can associate with. You know, they'll get the idea, oh, this is supposed to be a reality show. Ha, ha, ha. And so that's how we started off, is doing it as a reality show.
We thought
this is going to be easy. You know, most people should be able to associate with it. So, you know, you don't have to be a gamer and be like, oh, you know, this guy comes stumbling into a bar and says, I need you to help me find my sword. You know, normal people might not get that. So
right.
Like a reality show, you know, broad audience, hopefully.
So you've done a total of 5 of them so far.
Yeah. Yes.
But the 5th one hasn't been released by Atari yet.
No, Atari didn't release it. They love Atari first, but they take their time on releasing stuff.
Right.
So what I did is I went ahead and released it on our website. So if you go to our website, and you can go to the Never Ending Days section. You can download the 5th episode from there.
Right, so all 5. Now, is that series continuing?
At this time, it's kind of iffy. We left it open with Atari, and we said, hey, if there's expansions coming out, or if there's like an event you guys are doing, and you want us to do some kind of quote-unquote advertising for you, which is the reason why they originally approached us.
Well, right. I mean, that's the whole point, is to promo the game.
To promote it, yeah.
Right.
And I said, you know, anything you guys want to do, we'll do it. But for now, I mean, with the game, there's a lot of different limitations in it that we can't do that we're able to do in Neverwinter Nights 1. For example, Neverwinter Nights 2 doesn't have that whole DM jump where you can jump into another character and
right.
film from them. So that makes filming impossible. Like, a few times if you watch closely, you'll see a character emote, and behind him, you'll see a little halfling standing behind him.
Well, yes, I actually did notice.
Yeah.
See?
I actually did notice that.
Yeah.
You know, because so sometimes
random
I was,
little halfling.
Right. Sometimes I was looking and I was thinking, you know, oh, that's the gnome wizard, or that's,
yeah.
you know, it's
yeah.
one of the other characters. And
yeah,
there,
that,
but there were a couple of times when I looked and I thought, who the hell's that?
Yeah.
that was one of the limitations. That,
the party member we don't see.
Right, the, yeah. the party member whose name you shall not speak.
You shall not know.
Yeah.
We shall call him cameraman.
Yes.
Yeah, so that actually was one of the problems we had with it. Now there are parts of it that are better.
Like the emote system?
Right, the emote system is beautiful, but there's like 10 emotes and that's it.
Yeah, one thing I saw in your forums was the question of could you recreate your characters in a way that would make the fans happy.
Yeah, the transition smooth. And yeah, we tried like you would try.
Well, yeah, I saw what was it? Peter that you put
Peter.
Up a little video of showing
yeah.
the new Peter. And
yeah.
and some people just didn't like it. It's like, well, his
oh,
hair's
yeah.
the wrong color. Or,
yeah,
he just doesn't look right, or his armor
yeah.
doesn't look right.
And every time I tried to make Grayson, it made him look like he had a rash all over his face.
Yeah.
It was just...
Hey, write it into the story.
Exactly.
Yeah, that whole poison ivy cream thing. Yeah.
There you
exactly,
go.
Yeah.
Right. See,
it spread up to my face.
Right. There is always a solution.
Yeah.
With imagination.
So,
and the audience will buy it.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Some of the character development in the game is wonderful, but it, like you said, once you've got a root in the first game, and you've got characters and established appearance.
Well, I mean, the audience is used to seeing...
Oh, yeah, a transition.
You know, these characters. And
yeah.
this
yeah.
is what they look like, and they can identify them by sight. Oh, that's Grayson. Oh, that's Poppy. Oh, that's Andrea. And to then... Like, you know, it's sort of like the second Darren on Bewitched.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
oh,
I mean, it's like, wait a second,
oh, exactly.
that's not Grayson.
Yeah.
What is that?
yeah,
that's what happened, too. I mean, it just got to the point where no matter how hard we tried, we just weren't comfortable with it. We're like, no one is really, you know, none of these characters that no matter how much we adjust, we're just not able to capture what we feel like is Grayson or Peter or Poppy.
Now,
right.
that's not to say it's not going to change. Like, we are filming the second season in Neverwinter Nights 1, but that's not going to say, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, and we're always going to film
right,
that.
By season 3, there may be patches, there may be other stuff that makes it easier for you to
absolutely
do what you need to do to...
I mean, even halfway through the second season, they may come out... I know the CEP team is working really hard to update all the stuff in the CEP to put it into... Neverwinter Nights 2.
Right.
So, I mean, if they get that done and that comes out and we're happy with it, then yes, we absolutely may upgrade then.
Well, yeah, I noticed in the first season that halfway through the cavern got a roof.
Yeah.
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 That's true.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
very,
one,
very true.
One episode you got stalactites or mites or whichever one that hang down, sort of hanging in midair, and the next time you have this oppressive roof.
Yeah. yeah. And thank you very much to CEP again.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny, kind of funny you mentioned that, because when we found that, Tom approached me and said, hey, do you want to go back and refilm the last 5 episodes? And I was like, F off. No.
Yeah.
I don't want, let's just move on. I don't want to go back and refilm the first episode either.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, where do you stop?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, once you start, you know, you might, well, we'll just start at the beginning again.
Well, we had actually talked about that, going back and filming the first, I think it's the first 8 episodes over for the release of the DVD, because those are the first 8 episodes we had changed the camera configurations, we had changed the filming configurations, we had changed all kinds of little technical details to work out the bugs. And by about episode 9 or 10 is when it really, we were in a rhythm. You know, I could sit down on, I had 4 computers all running at the same time, I could sit down, I could bang out an episode in about 6 to 8 hours.
Right.
But before that, it took me an entire week to film an episode because I was always fiddling with the controls.
Right.
So, yeah, and at that point, we were both kind of so tired. We're like, no. It's what it is.
And it is what it is, and it's, you know, clearly people enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And are they going to get any more enjoyment if you change it?
That was one of the things we found, is when we kind of posed a question to a couple of our diehard fans. Hey, what would you guys think about us going back and refilming the first couple episodes to bring? And they said, no, we love it. It's grainy, it's crappy, we love it.
Yeah.
It's everything that Neverending Nights should be. And actually, if you go on the forum, my signature is, duh, it sucked. It wouldn't be Neverending Nights if it didn't.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. You've made it, you know, it's got an identity of its own. It's got a look of its own.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you can improve it, but...
But why?
Would it make it any better? Are people turning up their nose because in some places it's crude? Or aren't they interested? And if you did smooth it out and make it all shiny and wonderful, would suddenly, 1,000 people come back and say, oh my God, look at it, it's great.
Yeah.
You know? No, well, I mean, because ultimately, with the limitations of the Neverwinter Night engine, it's the writing and story
that keeps the people there.
That people download it for. They're not downloading it for the fine cinematography. Or any of the actual physical manifestation of what's on the screen. They're downloading it because the characters make them laugh, the stories are entertaining, the writing is funny, and that's what is bringing people. So, it's not something you really want to stress over.
We could actually probably film this as sock puppets.
Hey, season 3, sock puppets!
You laugh now.
Yeah, you got that little pad. Sock puppets? Question mark. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a bunch of people who want to call in and say hi and ask you questions.
Excellent.
I promised the Baloob, who you're just going to love. Baloob, if you're out there, no eating when you ask your question. The Baloob wants to call in. Monk wants to call in. He's gotten back from his chores, so he's got a chance to come in.
We believe you know him.
Yes.
The Monk?
Monk, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tom does.
Yeah. And, so he's stalking you guys as well.
You got to
get one of those orders on him to keep him away. It's the only way to do it.
Exactly. Okay, we are going to come back from our break. It's going to be a short break because we got a lot of people who want to come in. And we only have 51 minutes left.
Oh, darn.
Because in 51 minutes, I'm at, it's
you
like...
turn
it's,
into a
it's,
pumpkin?
It, no, it's dinner time. I don't care anymore. All right.
What's for dinner?
You see, we've got this place called Cheeseburgers and More, which has burgers from a quarter of a pound up to 2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Two-pound burger?
Two-pound burger, baby.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. And they also have good beer, so...
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's like, three-quarter, one-pound burger and a couple of bass ales, and I'm, good to go.
I think you just made Tom happy.
Yeah. just the thought that such a place exists.
It is,
as Louis Armstrong sang, it is a wonderful world. We will be back.
Mission Radio has been given a new task. Every other week, a list of 5 seemingly random movies will be left in a mayonnaise jar on the steps of Mission Radio. Then Ethan Runt and the Monk will, live and on the air, discuss, argue, and fight tooth and nail to determine which movie will be declared Mission Radio's Film of the Fortnight. If Ethan or Monk are maimed or killed in the reviewing of these movies, Roger and Ken will disavow any knowledge of their actions. Listen to Mission Radio's Film of the Fortnight.
Do you wish there was more 6 Feet Under in your loft? Do you wish there was more American Gothic in your 6 Feet Under?
Come see the first 4 episodes. The final 4 episodes. The only four episodes of Elmway, now playing at elmway.leftyfilms.com. Elmway, the show that anonymous little boys on the internet hated.
But our parents loved.
TMO's Carson said, if you like breathing, you'll like Elmway.
One of Moraine's best horror movies. Dead Dreams 2. With a cast of Sorrow 13.
I was in your girlfriend's dream before. I think her name is Shannon. Now I'm in yours.
Ubi Nubi.
I'm gonna effing kill you.
Sandro. And Doc in the Web. Moraine 101 presents you Dead Dreams 2.